Bible, please. If you ever want an encouragement and you're having a down day, just read Isaiah 41. It's a powerful portion of Scripture. It's a portion of Scripture that just really gets to our hearts and says, you know what, all the troubles and all the heartaches and all the sorrows of this world are there for a purpose. And it's to say, hey, stand up there, get in the batter's box, don't walk out. Make sure you stand right in there. Take the pitches. There's some things that are going to come at you. They're going to scare the living daylights out of you. My boys, when I raised my three boys, I used to tell them, I said, there's one thing, boys. If you ain't scared, you ain't having fun. We used to have a lot of fun, amen? And there's a lot of fun going on in this world. And you're going to meet it head on, head straight on. And there's some things that just going to twist and turn, and the road that you take just not going to go meet your expectations sometime, and you're going to be discouraged. But I'll tell you what, if you give your heart to the Lord Jesus Christ, if you give your life and surrender and say, dear God, I'll do whatever you want to do. When those things come to you, say, Lord, I don't understand this thing, but I'm not going to pitch a fuss about it. I don't understand those things, but I know that I'm going to trust you. I just realized I did not turn off my cell phone, and I appreciate nobody calling me right now. And if you have one of those crazy things on your hip or on your side or in your purse, turn it off. Amen. Amen. I want to talk to you about the fear nots of the Bible. There's a whole bunch of them. There's a whole bunch of fear nots in the Bible. If you're not scared, you're not having fun. There's a lot of things. There are a lot of fears in this world. I remember being afraid sometime. Anybody want to raise your hand? You say, yeah, I can attest to that. I can testify to that. I've been afraid. Some guys go to war, and they're scared spitless. They say, you know what, that's good. Because that brings up your intensity to being very vigilant and very hyper-vigilant, being very careful where you are. You're checking six all the time. You know that you are in a war. There's a lot of people today that do not realize that you are in a war. We are in a battle. We are in a place of war that people are trying. The Satan, you know, we fight against we don't fight against flesh and blood. We fight powers and powers of the air. We fight about those evil things that come at us and try to get us to trip up and try to get us to disobey and try to get us to disallow the things of God. And we as Christians ought to be very careful about it and understand that. And so while we're in that, we got to remember that there's someone who says, hey, you know what? I'm going to take care of you. He said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Aren't you glad about that? Have you ever been someplace and all of a sudden somebody that was with you got upstairs and they took off running and all of a sudden you're by yourself? That's not good. That's not good. The Bible says in Isaiah chapter 41 and verse 13, for I, the Lord thy God, will hold thy right hand, saying unto thee. Listen to that. Saying unto thee. Get the scriptures. Saying unto thee. Hey, I, the Lord God, will hold thy right hand, saying unto thee, fear not. I will help thee. How many have children? You ever have anything happen to your children? You ever have any go to the emergency room? And those doctors in the emergency room, they want your money, and so they're going to give you all kinds of tests. You hear about the fellow went in and said, I need a CAT scan. The guy said, what do you want? I want a CAT scan. He went to the veterinarian. He said, okay. He said, I'll give you a CAT scan, but it's going to cost you $100. Okay. So the guy got a cat by the tail and went, catch can, amen. But anyway. We do go places like that, don't we? It's not a happy time. I just heard of a friend that just had a stroke. Barbara Tinder. Some of you remember Barb. Had a stroke. Scary time. Oh yeah. Has anybody ever told you you had cancer? Anybody ever told you you had diabetes? Anybody ever told you, we're done with you today, pick up your last check? Those are scary times. Those are not fun times for us. I was working for a company, and they said, we don't need you anymore. And I was devastated. I was literally devastated. The next day, a friend of mine said, hey, my dad works for the people that are putting through this great big gas line through Michigan. They need help. Would you like a job? I got triple amount of dollars an hour in one day. And I worked with them until I had to go back to college. My devastation that I thought that God had forgot about me, God was just saying, like a mother cat, drugged me over here and said, I got something better for you. Not only did I get a job, but because I drove my car, okay, guys, every night before you go home, you can fill up your car with fuel. How'd you like a job like that, huh? Huh? And the job I got, the inspector of the deal, was my friend's dad. Is he going to look after me? Oh, yeah. And here I was at this other place. I was killing myself and really some very dangerous stuff I was working at. But I learned how to put services into houses, put the gas line service into a house. Wow, how cool is that, huh? Amen. So some things that happen in our lives, we think, happen to be the best thing that ever happened to you. So the best thing in your life is not to fear. Just trust God in this thing. Things come to you and say, you know what? She's not going to make it. Okay. Do you think God knows what's going on in our life? Yes. Learn to trust Him. So there's a story told about an English man who was awaiting an operation. And back in the early 1900s, to have your appendix removed was major surgery. Today, they just go in there and you're done. You're heading out. There are no complications. But back in those days, it was a very dangerous. And many people lost their lives because of that. This guy was a Christian man. And thought of the ordeal awaiting him, he naturally shrunk in fear and trouble of his soul. This, of course, you can understand and realize many people lost their lives having their appendix removed. He was made ready for the operation, and he's about to be rolled into the operating room, and the nurse, observing his timidity and fear, said, when you are put in the operating table, I want you to look up at the wall, and you'll find a message from God. And this guy is saying, wait a minute. What do you mean I look up the wall and I'm going to hear a message from God or see a message from God? And when he got in here, all four walls of the operating room, someone had painted Bible verses. And his eyes looked at one, and he took that as his own. I, the Lord, thy God, will hold thy right hand, saying unto thee, fear not, I will help thee. Praise God. He said to the nurse, he said, I don't understand. You kind of scared me. I thought maybe there's some funny stuff going on here. But he says, I want you to know, I have found what God told me, and I'm resting on that verse. Hey, there's some fear nots in the Bible. And by the way, there are many. There's a lot of verses in the Bible about fear nots. If I encourage you today, if you go home today after having your meal or whatever, and just sit down with your Bible quietly, turn the stinking TV off. You don't need it anyway. They're going to tell you everything's going to in trouble and everything. But take your Bible in your lap and just start going through the Bible. My suggestion, go to the Psalms. And see all the things God talks about, fear not. He talks about how He's with you and encourages you. I don't know about you, but I need that today. I need it every day. I need to hear God say, I need to be, when I'm rolled into the operating room, seems like that's my life. I'm in the operating room all the time. It's usually me and the gurney, amen? And they're about ready to push me on the table. I'm looking all the time for verses to encourage me, to challenge me to trust God, amen? I hope you're in that area. I know you are. You remember the story. The disciples were out. They'd been with Jesus all day, and Jesus said, I want you to cross the sea. And they're all alone, and all of a sudden a great storm came up on the Sea of Galilee. Dark wind, crashing of thunder and lightning. Powerful storm. And they see something they thought was a ghost walking towards them. And they're afraid, and Jesus said, it's me, hey, be not afraid. You remember the story. Old Peter, he's not a gutless wonder man. He's there for you, okay? He said, Lord, if it be thee, bid me to come to thee. And the Lord said, come on. Can you see him climbing over top of that on that boat? I mean, the waves are rocking and rolling that boat. I mean, it's going like this and sideways. Water splashing in their face. I mean, it's cold that night. And he says, Lord, and he climbs over that boat. I can just see him right now getting up, and he plants his feet on the water. Something that was scientifically impossible. And he starts to walk to the Lord, and he's watching the Lord, and he comes in, and all of a sudden, I'm guessing, I'm surmising, I'm supposing, a big old crash of thunder, and wind blew, and water hit him in the face, and he looks and says, I'm doing something that's very scientifically wrong. And the Bible says, he took his eyes off Jesus, and it began to sink. Can I just pull over and park here a minute? There are some times in life that a storm really gets raging. And brother and sister and boy and girl, we're out there serving God, and we want to do everything we can for the Lord, but all of a sudden, some cold water hits us in our face and takes our mind off what we're doing. His mind should have been stayed on him. His mind should have been trusting in Jesus Christ. First of all, we know he's already taken a couple steps, right? We know he's already up there. Hey, it's cool, man. Just stay with it. Watch Jesus. But he took his eyes off Jesus and started trusting himself. Oh, my. There are so many times in my life. Man, I got out of the ship, and man, I'm going, and all of a sudden I'm going, hey, stupid, what are you doing? Are you crazy? Are you out of your mind? Good night. You could get hurt. Good night. You could lose everything you have. Good night. And on and on and on and on. All of us have that. Yes, we do. Boy, we all have good intentions. Boy, I'm going to read my Bible. I'm going to pray. I'm going to keep my mind stayed on me. And all of a sudden, something out of the ordinary. Something happens that we did not think about. Our son doesn't follow the plan that we thought that God wanted him for his life. Our daughter does not go where we expected her to go and do in our life. And we're on the storm of life, and we're looking to Jesus, and all of a sudden it is almost too much. You ever been there? Yeah, but you're going to be there. You got three boys, buddy. It's coming. It's coming. I have families come to my office and say, preacher, I don't know what to do with my boy. I said, let me ask you a question. When you were 16 years old, what were you doing? Oh, preacher, that's different. I wasn't raised in a family like our family. I was doing a lot of things my parents really didn't care. I said, how old were you? That's why God said, I know what you're made out of. You're but dust. All of us have a free will. All of us, I don't care. Hey, you said, but Pastor, they lived in our church and they've done it. Hey, let me ask you something. Who was Adam and Eve's daddy? How did that go? Not very well, did it? One man said, you know, I have one good boy. One out of three ain't bad. That was supposed to be funny. But it's not funny because you and I know that deep down inside you, you're hurting inside because there's something that's was that storm, part of that storm that you could not handle. And you took your eyes off God and said, man, I don't know. I'm going to quit. I put my kid in Christian schools. I raised them all up. I did that. Why isn't it a kid that has been all that, given everything? I mean, Bible memorization and reading the scriptures and prayer at home and living for God and praying at the table. Why is it that within 30 minutes, he is 17, 18, maybe 20, in 30 minutes he's with somebody else and he completely changes everything and goes against everything that I've taught him, and I pray for him. God, why the storm? I'll tell you what. God said, hey, I want you to know that you were right doing what you're supposed to do. But they have to make a choice. It's their choice. God has given us this wonderful thing called the free will. All of us have a free will. Either we serve God or we don't serve God. Adam and Eve had a choice. God gave them that choice. God could have put the point and said, just like he did around that tree of life, he could have put an angel with a wheeling sword around the knowledge of good and evil, but he didn't. He said, there's got to be some contraband that can prove to me or prove to themselves that they will serve God no matter what. We all have our fears. And we all have our choices. And God says, hey, you come to me. Something very interesting. When Peter began to sink, he is in the middle of the Sea of Galilee, a deep lake. It's not a good thing to be out in the lake with no storm. He's in a lake, thunder, lightning, wind, high waves. He's sinking. Interesting. I just saw this. When he cried out, Jesus grasps that outreach hand. And then he spoke an encouraging word. You're okay, Peter. I got you. Sometimes as parents, we get ahead of things and we tell the kid, it's going to be okay, and then we try to save them. When your child cries out and says, Daddy, go get him! Just be quiet. First of all, they know that this is going to change their whole life forever. Once you have put your hand up to them and you haven't destroyed that bridge, hopefully they'll listen to you. Do you think Peter listened to the Lord after God got him in a safe boat? I think he was pretty quiet for a little bit. Shook that water out of his ears, anybody? Scared him to death. But I love the scripture there. Jesus didn't say nothing. He just put his hand. He said, hey, I got you. Christ does not only sit upon his throne in heaven, dictating and forwarding messages to the Almighty God as our paraclete. as our one who is with us. But he comes at the call in dire need. Write to us and grants direct and personal contact. You say, Pastor, I'm not living for the Lord. Okay? There's nothing you can do in your life, if you're a Christian, to spoil the love of God or the mercy of God. He may take you home, but He'll always love you. I like this little saying the other day. Someone said this, said there's no grandchildren. God has no grandchildren. They're all His children. I love that. I hope today that you can walk away and say, you know what? There's no distance for God. No limits. He loves you. He's always close to you. All you have to cry is, Lord, save me! And He'll do it immediately, without question. He was made flesh for us. And He cannot rest until we're at rest. Isn't that good? He cannot rest, or He will not rest, until we're at rest. One of these days, the Bible says, it's pointed out a man wants to die and then the judgment. One of these days, He's coming back. One of these days, we may go to Him before He comes back to us. And then we'll be at peace and rest with Him forever. But while we're here, we're kind of like the duck. You may be looking okay on topside, and you're not even making any weight, but boy, underneath there, you're pedaling to beat the band, amen. Your feet are just flailing in that water. Some of you parents today, you look pretty good. You dress up nice. Get pretty haircuts and shave yourself, clean yourself up, or you look good with that beard or whatever. And boy, you shave and put the cologne on, or you don't shave, hope you put the cologne on anyway, man. And you'll come, and everybody says, man, everything's all okay with him. Hey, you know what? You didn't see me at my house this morning. And I didn't see you at the house this morning. You didn't see me not be able to find something I needed. And I didn't see you to find something needed. You weren't there looking at the clock, and you know, as a Sunday school teacher, I have to be here at 9:30. You didn't see me pull in on two wheels at 9:34 today. You didn't see me trying to help the helpless. And see a sandal on one foot and one of my dress shoes on the other. And my Minnesota Twins t-shirt on. And crying. And not know what's going on. You can see that. And I don't want you to see that. I want you to see this man trust in God. I want you to see this man saying, you know what? Everything's okay in my Father's house. I want people to see me say, you know what? I don't know how he does it, but he seems to trust God. And I want you to for the same thing. All of us have our troubles. All of us have our problems. All of us have our rugged days. And our times at the emergency rooms. And our times at the emergency rooms. And our times at the emergency rooms. When will these kids ever quit breaking themselves? And a little boy that has something going on and we don't know what's going on. You sit there in church and you smile and everybody thinks it's okay. And that widow lady that sits and looks at her lawn and it's a milestone and
That little widow lady, she doesn't know. She just prays to God, someone will come help her. But she comes to church and just smiles. You don't see that little widow lady at night climbing into her lonely bed all by herself and no one to talk to. You don't see her go shopping, what used to be the funnest thing in her life with her and her husband. And the vacations. And the intimacy. But she comes to church all smile and happy, looking so good. For the most part, the reason she can do that is because she has put her trust in the Almighty. And she's been able to say, as Isaiah said, "For I, the Lord thy God, will hold thy right hand, saying unto thee, Fear not, I will help thee." I'm glad that I'm a Christian. I'm glad that I know Jesus Christ, my personal Savior. I'm glad that I know the Bible enough to know that God said He'll never leave me nor forsake me. I'm glad that God said all things work together for good to them that love God, them called according to His purpose. I'm glad that I know it's not about me, it's about the kingdom, and it's about Jesus Christ. I'm glad I know that the Bible said, Jesus said all the time, He's yet saying, "Oh, I've come to do my Father's will." I'm glad to know that's my job. It's not my job to find out what I'm capable of. It's God's job. And all of us are going through training until either we hear the trumpet call or we feel death dew on our brow. We are here to serve the Master. We are His servants. We're the sheep of His pasture. And that's why I'm glad to tell you today that I can say the Lord is my shepherd. I'm glad to tell you, I can tell you the last person, as David said, "I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." I'm glad I know the scripture where the Bible says in John chapter 3 verse 16, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." I'm glad the Apostle John wrote there in 1 John in chapter 5 verse 13, "These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know, that ye may know that ye have eternal life." This world is not mine own. I'm just passing through. Listen to the songwriter, what he says. "He leadeth me, O blessed thought, O words with heavenly comfort fraught, where I do, where I be, still 'tis God's hand that leadeth me. Sometime mid scenes of deepest gloom, sometimes where Eden's flowers bloom, by waters still or troubled sea, still 'tis His hand that leadeth me. The Lord, I would place my hand in thine, nor ever murmur nor repine, content whatever lot I see, since 'tis my God that leadeth me. And when my task on earth is done, when by thy grace the victory's won, in death cold wade I will not flee, since God through Jordan leadeth me. He leadeth me. He leadeth me. By His own hand He leadeth me. His faithful follower I will be." Or as the song says, "I would be, for by His hand He leadeth me." Everybody's got a burden today. Everybody's got a burden that they don't even know which way to go, which way to turn. Everybody's having a battle here today. You may not show it in your eyes, but down inside, you know inside your heart you've got some problems going on in your life. And I just want to remind you of the Savior who's coming walking in the storm. In the midst of the storm, here comes the Master. And you cry out, "Lord, save me!" And He won't even say a word, just grab you. Life has some really twisty turns, and that you'll have no idea which way to turn. But it's not about you. It's all about the kingdom. It's all about His kingdom. It's all about our Master. If you're here today and you know Lord Jesus Christ, your personal Savior, hey, just put your faith in Him. Say, "Dear God, You said You'd save me. You said You'd take me to heaven someday, so this is not too big for You to do. Can You help me here?" Amen? Father, I pray You'd speak to our hearts. I know we've gone long today. I pray, God, You just help us, Lord Jesus, to give ourselves completely to You. Lord, we trust You and we thank You, Lord Jesus, so much for all You've given to us. We have no other way but to trust in You. Lord, I pray today as we have this invitation, that, Lord, You'd speak to our hearts. Lord, if there's anyone here today not sure they're saved, and they're in the storm of life without You helping them. They're in a storm of life without a Savior who will come and save them. Dear God, may they cry on the Savior, the Master of the sea, today. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed, you're here today. And you say, "Preacher, I'm not saved. I'm not sure I'm on my way to heaven. Would you please pray for me? Would you lift your hand today? Preacher, I'm not sure I'm saved. I'm not sure I'm on my way to heaven. Would you lift your hand and say, "Preacher, please pray for me, please." You're here today and say, "Preacher, I've been saved, but my life is a mess. I'm in the storm of my life, and preacher, I don't even know where to go." Go to Jesus. He loves you. Even when they were crucifying Him, He said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." He even knows that you don't know what you're doing, but He's there for you. "Pastor, that's me. Would you pray for me?" God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. My. God bless you. Yeah. I wonder why God wanted me to preach this sermon. God bless you, folks. I know you're going through some tough times. Anyone else? Say, "Preacher, would you please pray for me?" God bless you and you. Anyone else? I'm going to pray for you in just a little bit. I won't name your name, but I'm going to name you before God. God bless you, ma'am. Anyone else? Our Father, with all Your power and with all Your strength, Lord God, would You go before Jesus, would You go before the Father and plead our case today? Oh God, it's a storm. It's such a storm we can't even see. The rain is hitting us in the face and hitting us, and there's no relief. God, would You put us back in the boat and would You still the sea? But just deal the sea and just help us to get regrouped once again. Help us, Lord, for the next storm. Lord, You've seen the hands of these people and the hearts. Would You do great work in their hearts and their life, that they would remember that You are one who says, "Hey, don't fear. I'll take you with my right hand. I'm for you." Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. You're here today and say, "Preacher, I'm not sure I'm saved. I'm going to ask you to come forward." Let's all stand. Everyone standing. You're here today and you say, "Preacher, I am not sure I'm saved. I'm not sure I'm on my way to heaven. But boy, I'd sure like to know that. Why don't you come right now? Just step out of that seat and come." Preacher, I am not sure I'm saved. You come right now. You hear James say, I'm saved, but I have not followed the Lord Jesus Christ in believer's baptism. Why don't you come at this time? You're here today and you say, Preacher, we want to become members of the church. This is where we want to serve God. You come right now. Become a part of it. Become a part of this work. Again, you're here today and you say, Preacher, I am lost. I am lost. I'm not sure I'm saved. I'm not sure I'm on my way to heaven. Why don't you come? Let me show you from God's Word. You're here today and you say, Preacher, I need to follow the Lord and be in baptism. That's the first call that God gives me. The first call God gives us as a Christian. Once we get saved, to follow the Lord and believe in baptism. I guarantee you, you'll never do what you could do if you don't do what God tells you to do. The first things. You're here today and you say, Preacher, we want to become members of this church. This is where we believe God has sent us to and to, so we can work here. Why don't you come? Father in heaven, we thank you for today. We thank you for the opportunity of being here. And Lord God, I pray you just help us. Help us, Lord, not to fear. But help us, Lord, to cry unto you, Lord, when we do fear. And Lord God, you'll come and save us. Thank you for that promise. Lord, I pray you'd help us now as we come back tonight and enjoy ourselves together. Lord, as we look at the film of the kids and see all the things you've given us, I pray you bless. Thank you for the folks who've been so kind today to listen so carefully. Lord, I pray you bless now in Jesus' name. Amen. I was just at a meeting.